A race that's run in our strength and man's strength will fail. And a race run in God's strength will not fail. The things that you've done in your own strength, some things have gone well, but not all things. But when you bring God in, you have Him encourage and the Holy Spirit lead and guide, no matter what happens, that race will not fail.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Today's topic for our time together is finishing the race strong. We're going to take us from the strength of our youth on through our middle ages on to some of us that are getting up there a little bit, maybe a little bit weaker, maybe a little bit wary, but we definitely want to finish the race strong no matter what stage of life we are. God has laid this thought on my mind a couple months ago with a message that I heard right here. Yep, Pastor Dan did preach it. And it stuck with me, and it's something that I wanted to develop today for us. If you have your Bibles, just quickly in an introduction, turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and it says this. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Pastor was talking about sincere faith, how it's carried on from generation to generation to those that are there behind us. So we're going to build on this today. And guys, it looks to me like we're okay, no problem. This all has to do with the ladies. No, I don't think so. It has to do with each and every one of us. But we definitely want to begin a life of sincere faith that we can pass on to the generations that are behind us. Just what is our responsibility? What do we have to do? What does God expect of us? For a long time, I've been dealing with this in my own personal life. And today, again, I want to share what God has been laying on my heart. It's been a while since I've had a chance to stand in front of a pulpit and preach. Many, many years, in fact. When Donna and I and the family were missionaries at Camp Forest Springs, I had many opportunities to pastor in different churches all throughout the Midwest. And it always was a great opportunity for me, and I did not take it lightly, just like I do not today. And I often started with this illustration, and it helped me break the ice with those people, and it'll help me break the ice with you today. You see, my grandfather pastored a church for 40 years, one church, 40 years in Muskegon, Michigan. And my father pastored one church for 26 years here in Wonder Lake. In fact, it happened to be this church. And I'm a plumber. See, it works, doesn't it? Now you're loosened up and so am I. Well, as I was thinking this week of what to do, I've got volumes and volumes and volumes of my grandfather's stuff. And so I said, well, this will be easy. I'll just read one of his messages. So here we go. May 8th, 1932, Esau sells his birthright. Abram has been a resident of Cana for 25 years before Isaac was born. Isaac and Rebekah had been married 20 years before Esau and Jacob were born. Rebekah was barren. It's not going to work, is it? Nope, I can't do something that my grandfather did. But for those of you that are interested, I'll tell you what, there's a wealth of information here. So we aren't going to be able to do that today. So then I said, well, this will be easy. I found some tapes of my dad. I said, okay, what I'll do is I'll play a tape and I'll just lip sync it.
I urge you to study this passage and both 1st and 2nd Peter, if you so desire. With that in mind, pastor writing to his church family, leaving final words that he believes are very essential and necessary for them when he leaves. We are amazed also at the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who is allowing Peter to mention things of which he really had no full knowledge, as he was moved upon by the Holy Spirit to write. We talked about this in our previous study, talking about the earth melting judgment of fire.
How many of you recognize that voice? Do you? Come on up and finish, Bob. This is going to be easy. No, that's not going to work neither. But what a tremendous heritage that is in my past, tremendous heritage that has been carried on. It's that type of thing that I want to share with you today. And so I can't use Grandpa's notes and I can't use my dad's tape, so I guess I'm here all on my own. But that's okay, because I do have something I want to share from my heart. When I mentioned this statement, what do you think of? Here it is. The Iron Man. Okay, one more time. The Iron Man. Some of you might say, oh, it's the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz. Or it's somebody that eats iron beams for breakfast, like Sandy. No, the Iron Man is a race. It's a race that I want to talk about. And this past summer, I had a great opportunity to see this in my own life because my son Scott did an Iron Man race. And so we're going to use that race today as a foundation for this thought that I want to share with you. Let me kind of bring this race a little bit at home to you, first of all, this morning. It's a race of endurance. First of all, the athletes start out, they get into the water, and they swim 2.4 miles. No big deal, right? We could all do that. Piece of cake. Then when we get out of the water, the athletes then get on their bicycles and ride 12 miles? No. 112 miles. And as soon as they're done with that bike race, then they run a marathon. Many of you have seen marathons, the Chicago Marathon, where tens of thousands of runners run every year. And they run 26.2 miles. I got that right? Yeah, 26.2 miles. A total of 139.8 miles, all done at the same time in one day. Now, I'm not sure I've done that this past week total, but they do it in one day. And I want to use this race then to illustrate our lives, and how we start out very, very strong, and sometimes no matter what God brings into our life, whatever trials or tribulations along the way, things begin to happen. And much like the racers, finish the race weak. In our spiritual life, that's not what we want to do. So we're going to use this race just for a few minutes to kind of show us what God is doing in our lives and how he wants each and every one of us to finish our race strong. How we need to spiritually grow stronger as time goes on. If you've got your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 25. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when pastors come up here and say the verses, gives them a chance to catch their breath. So here we go, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 24 and 25. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as you get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Please keep that in mind, because in our conclusion, we're going to reflect back to this crown. I like in the first part of this race, the swim, 2.4, to the early stages in our life. We're kind of young and energetic, ready to go. We got the cat by the tail. We're ready to stretch out and move out and really get some things going and accomplish some things as quickly as possible. Let me bring the swim part of this race into perspective for you today. Think of Wonder Lake. Sandy and Skip live over on the west side. So thousands of swimmers, 2,000 plus swimmers, go over to Sandy Skip, jump in the water all at the same time, swim around their point, swim past Indian Ridge 2, past Indian Ridge 1, past the center, the secondary center, past Wonder Center, come all the way down by Donna and my house on the east side of the lake, clear almost halfway down the lake, circle the island. You think the race is done. The race is not done. Now they have to swim all the way back to the dam and get out. It's a tremendous distance where you're swimming. I was there that early morning in Madison, Wisconsin. It was before 7 o'clock. The dew was kind of on the water. It was just beautiful. The sun was coming up in the east. And there were all these runners, I told you, some 2,000. And they were, it was unbelievable to watch that. They were ready. They were eager. Some of them were shivering because they were cold, because they were scared, because they didn't know what was ahead. But they were ready. They were asking themselves questions. Have I trained enough? Will I drown? I mean, there were lots of things going through their mind. But their bodies were ready. They had prepared themselves for a long, long time. And they were mentally ready. They wanted to get started. It's no different in our lives. It's no different in our spiritual walk with the Lord. We need to do the same thing. We need to be as energetic and as ready as they were. We need to realize that life's journey is ahead of us, and there's so much of us, so much that we need to accomplish, and there's so much that we need to do. And by God's sovereign power in our life, He is setting out on a journey for each and every one of us. It's a different journey, I'll admit that, but it is a journey, and we cannot take it lightly, and we need to begin. So here we are at the beginning. Everything is starting out, and it's the power of God in each and every one of us that we need then to begin to strengthen us. We need that power of the Holy Spirit to come alongside of that to control us, to teach us, and to help us along the way. We need to follow God's plan for our lives, whatever it would be and whatever it would take us and whatever God brings along the way. You see, I believe a race that's run in our strength and man's strength will fail. And a race run in God's strength will not fail. In fact, maybe many of you can reflect on that in your own lives today. The things that you've done in your own strength, certainly some things have gone well, but not all things. But when you bring God in on a daily basis and have Him encourage and the Holy Spirit lead and guide, no matter what happens, that race will not fail. I remember that morning during that race. I mean, it's hard to even explain, but as all these people got in the water and the gunshot and off they took, there were some racers that didn't even make it 100 feet. They cramped up. The water was cold. For whatever reason, they had trained for years to get ready for this. But their race was over. Scott told me that there were other people that would get kicked in the head. There are so many, literally. As they're trying to get in their stride and get ready to go, someone would get kicked in the head or pulled underwater or sandwiched or squished in between. And the race was over. You know what? That happens, doesn't it? Things like that happen in our everyday life. Things like that happen in our spiritual life. But what we need to realize, just like the swim where some of those didn't make it, the race is not over for us at that point. It's no different in our spiritual life. We realize that no matter what God brings into our life, we need to continue. God teaches us to obey Him, to seek Him, and to follow Him day by day. These are the teachings that we've heard just this past month. I, like you, struggle with this sometimes, but we realize that this is what has to be done. It's our training manual. It's what we have to do to be able to endure the race. Seek Him, follow Him day by day. So let's run the race that God has set before us with His strength. He is our leader, and He will carry us on. In between the race, between the swim and the bike, there's a transition. So we're coming from the dam now, and we're coming down through this backwoods, and we're headed here to church. And all of these racers go through a transition. The transition is a very, very important part of the race, because now they have to shift gears from what they've just done and begin to get ready for the next stage. Very, very important part of the race for these runners. In fact, the day before, many of them take a lot of time setting things up just perfect, checking the tires, checking the shoes, checking the everything, getting the food that they need. They just spend a lot of time getting ready. And the transition is very, very important. It's so important that an athlete needs to focus on that as a major part of the race. Even though it's not the swim, even though it's not the bike, even though it's not the run, it's an important part. And so God brings us through a lot of transitions through our life. And those transitions then are there for a reason. They're there to encourage us. They're there to teach us. They're there to change us. And these transitions then come, and I believe God helps us then grow closer to Him. Transition is our life. Transition in our lives is when the Holy Spirit leads us on to continue, and He strengthens us to what's ahead. The second part of the race, then, is the bike, 112 miles. It's the middle period of our lives. Many of you are in this stage of your life. Most of you probably are in this stage of your life. But let me bring this part of the race a little home to you this morning. Pretty soon, Ralph and some of you other guys are going to go out to the church. You're going to get on your bikes, and you're going to ride all the way to downtown Chicago, and you're going to circle the John Hancock Building. You have to circle the John Hancock Building, because if you don't, you're going to go in the water, and the swim part of the race is already over. So you're going to go down to the John Hancock Building, you're going to circle, and you're going to ride all the way back to Wonder Lake on your bicycle. And when you get back here to the church, you're going to go, yeah, the time is up. Nope. Now I want you to go down and circle Wonder Lake. Go down to Dusty's, head down West Wonder Lake Road, head down Thompson, catch 120, come back up the east side, come back through Wonder Center, come back to the church. Now your bike race is over. Can you imagine? After you just swam 2.4 miles, you just bike 112. The middle stage of our life, maybe probably the most active, probably the most wonderful things that we all have a chance to live through. And God does many, many special things during this stage of our life. The athletes that day, as I watched them come out, they were all excited because, hey, we made the swim. They were shaky. Their legs, if you think of the swim, how it elongates your muscles, and some of them even had a hard time walking. But off they went through transition. They jump on their bike, and away they went. But they were settling down a little bit. Things are okay. I've trained for this. They realize that they're making it. And they really want to continue. There's fire in their eyes, and they want to go. Isn't it any different in our lives? Isn't it any different in our spiritual lives? We need to be that excited about what God has ahead for us, no matter what stage of life we're in. Life sends opportunities our way. He also sends trials our way. We need to attack them. We need to realize what God wants us to do. We're making it. But are we making it in our own strength? Are we making it in God's strength? But we're all different, aren't we? We're all in different stages of life. God has us in different aspects of life, doing different jobs, doing different things. But it's important to realize that no matter where we are, God wants us to grow closer to Him and wants our spiritual lives to become more inflamed for Him so that we can carry on the race strong. Remember, the athletes are beginning to drain down a little bit. As we go on and on through this race, and we tell you the whole story, they're beginning to drain down. It's not like that in our spiritual lives. Quite the contrary. We need to get stronger. Even though physically we might be weaker, mentally and spiritually, we need to be stronger day by day. I remember during the race, these guys were flying by us. The boys and I, our whole family was there, all the grandkids. It was unbelievable. We're flying to these different areas to try to encourage the racers, try to see where Scott was, try to see if things are still going well. And we were at this one spot waiting for them to come by, and just down the road, the riders were running 30 to 40 miles an hour? And they're 30? Okay. 30 miles an hour. I mean, this is flying on a bike, let me tell you. And this guy hits a pothole. Yep. Good old Illinois. That's Wisconsin. Good old Wisconsin. Hits a pothole. Flies over the top of his bike. Lands in the ditch. His race is over. He ended his race by being airlifted out to the hospital. He did not plan that day to hit that pothole, did he? Maybe you had a pothole hit you that hard that landed you, so-called, in the hospital of life. But it's important to realize that we need to continue to be strong. There was a part in that race where, again, we went to, and Scott came around the corner, and we're cheering, yeah, go, Scott, you're looking good. And he says, guys, you got to pray for me. I just lost my emergency pack. If I get a flat tire between here and the end of the race, my race is over. And all of us that were standing there just hit us like a ton of bricks. We needed to, believe it or not, we prayed that Scott would not get a flat tire from there to the end of the race. Have you lost your emergency pack? Do you need to call out to your friends, to those around you, to pray for you, to help you to get to a different spot in life, to a better spot, to something that God is trying to do in your life? Maybe it's a job change. Maybe it's an illness, whatever it would be. It's important. It's important to realize God is our strength, and that's who we need to rely on as Christians to strengthen us no matter where we are in the race of life. God wants us to persevere, doesn't he? He wants us to learn from our mistakes. He wants us to be godly men and godly women. He wants us to teach our children. He wants us to teach our grandchildren. Uh-oh, now I'm stepping on a... That's right, he wants us to teach our grandchildren. He wants us to live the godly life that he has set before us. He wants us to confess our sins and to change our lives. You hear an awful lot of things about change right now, especially in the political field. You hear some political thing and it says, keep the change. You hear another one, keep the change up in Wisconsin, keep the change. No, we're not going to keep the change. God wants us to change, a literal spiritual change that is important for each and one of us. It's all different. I need to change, you need to change. You need to grow closer to God and rely on him for everything that we have. You know why? Because God wants this. But more than that, God requires this. It's a requirement. It's not a maybe. It has to be done. Between the bike race then and the run portion, there's a transition. When these bikers came in, let me tell you, their strength was beginning to fail. Many of them were weak. Many of them did not even finish the bike race. Maybe at this stage of life, we feel that we're weak spiritually. We've given everything that we can give. But that's not the way it is it? We need to rely on the strength of God. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit working through us to carry us through at this point of life. Our physical strength may be waning and draining down, breaking down, but we still have so much to do. We can no longer play around with Christ and his plan for our lives. We mentally must persevere and continue on strong. The third part of this race is the run. We just swam 2.4. We just had a nice trip into Chicago and back. Now we're getting off of our bikes. Our legs are wobbly. Our strength is going down. And we're going to run 26.2 miles. 26.2 miles. You say, this is the end of the race. I can make it now. This is easy. And quite the contrary. You still have a third left. You still have a major part of your life left. And some of us in this room are sitting in that particular stage of our life, getting real close to it. And we cannot quit. Let me bring this part of the race home for you this morning. Your physical strength is gone. You spent just about everything you have. You got back to the church. You got off your bike. You transitioned. You changed clothes. You grabbed a banana or whatever it was. And you ran to McHenry. And you continue on 120 and you ran all the way to Volo. And you run around that little pole with the boat on it. You know the one I'm talking about? Turn around there and you run back to McHenry. And you run back to Wonder Lake. And then your race is done. It's almost unbelievable, isn't it? It's almost unfathomable. But it does happen. By this time of the race, the racers were done. But you know what? God's not finished with us when we get to that stage of our life. In fact, quite the contrary. I almost feel, and I trust that you do, that there's so much more to do and there's so much more that we can do that it's almost like we're just starting out. Isn't that great in our spiritual life? No matter where we are, it's almost like today we can start out fresh. We can be stronger. We can do more. We can do what God wants us to do. That's the point that I'm trying to get across. You know, the runners along the way, the athletes along the way had to fuel themselves, and we need to fuel ourselves too. God's word is what we use to fuel ourselves. Time alone with him, just listening, just reflecting, just trying to understand what he wants to do in our life is what gives us the fuel. You know what? It frustrates Donna a million times. I don't know what to do next. Well, why don't you know what to do next? Spend time with God. He'll tell you what to do next. And he will. Get that fuel that you need to finish your spiritual race strong. At this point, I want to tell you just one more illustration of the race that we had. We had watched God do all of these things. He made it. He didn't get a flat tire. He transitioned from bike to run, and he took off. And we didn't see him. The 13.1-mile race, which they did twice, ran around the city of of Madison, Wisconsin, ran through the college, ran through some of the country, came back to the downtown, and they ended up doing it twice. Well, we couldn't see them. It just, to be real honest with you, it was a hard part of the race to watch. Plus, we're tired. We've been changing diapers and feeding kids and pushing strollers and doing all these kind of things all day long. I actually think it was easier for Scott than it was for the rest of us. But we're tired. So we're sitting there literally in the shadow of the Capitol in Madison, and someone shouts out, "Here he comes." Off to the fence we go to cheer him on. And Scott says, "I need you guys. I'm not going to be able to finish this. You guys have got to get out there into the city, and you have got to help me finish this race." Oh, my word. Steve's here with us today. He grabs one on his shoulders, one on his back, and tears off for mile 18. Todd and Jenny and their kids go a different way. Donna goes a different way. Allison and their boys, they all go a different way. I take off. What am I going to do? I figure, well, I'll start at the finish line and walk backwards. I follow the race backwards, and I kept walking and walking and walking and walking. No Scott, no Scott, no Scott. And we're all on our cell phones back and forth. Have you seen him? Have you seen him? Todd, no, no. Where's Mom? I don't know where Mom is. Where's Allison? I don't know. Okay? You can imagine what we're doing. All of a sudden, the phone comes out, and it's Steve. "I'm at mile 18, and I just saw him. And he's walking, and he really doesn't look real good right now." And he says, "I just said, Scott, I didn't come all this way to see you walk." And Scott took off running. Gave him some encouragement, okay? Gave him some encouragement. Then Todd calls up. "I just saw him. Jenny and I just saw him. We're headed to the finish line. Where's Mom?" "I don't know. Couldn't find Donna." "Where was Donna?" All right. Actually, I know where Donna was. I'm not going to tell you. She was at the finish line, though. That was good. Allison, oh, we're calling back and forth. Here I am. It's dark now, guys. We started at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's probably 7, 8 o'clock at night. The sun has gone down, and I'm leaning against a cement pillar by this parking lot of the Badger Stadium. And these few runners are going by. They've got lights on their heads. Some of them have got the luminaries, and they're going by. Still no Scott, still no Scott. I don't really know where I am. I know I've gone probably 2, 3, 4 miles, but nothing. And then all of a sudden, through that dim parking lot on the far side, I see something that I kind of recognize that I've been looking for all day, and sure enough, it was Scott. And he was running. And I go, "Man, I don't know. Am I going to walk in with him? What am I going to do to help him finish this race?" He blew by me like, "Bye, Dad. I'm doing great. See you later." And I had walked all this time. And guess what? I have to go back now. The 4 miles that I had just walked, and I never did see the end of the race. But what I'm trying to bring home here is that this is the encouragement that he needed to finish the race. I've got to find this spot in my notes because it's very, very important. Oh, there it is. All right. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Says this. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. So to live the spiritual life that God wants us to live, we need to get rid of the sin. It entangles you. It will not let you run the race strong. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne." Jesus who died for you, Jesus who took your sins away, Jesus who is sitting there on your behalf with God the Father today, is the one who you want to grow closer to. When you think of what he's done for you, and when you think of what he has ahead for you, how can you help but say, "I will finish the race strong"? That's why we work in Awana and listen to those verses that we've heard 55,000 times through the years. That's why we serve on the church board that sometimes is very, very difficult and you really don't know why. That's why we're in the nursery. That's why we do junior church. That's why we teach Sunday school. That's why we stand in a worship team. That's why, because God wants us to finish the race strong. At the end of their race, as each runner goes along the finish line, it's dark. Oh, they've got spotlights. It's beautiful. Glistening, bright TVs, you name it. Probably one of the greatest announcers you ever heard. As every runner runs across the finish line, the announcer would say, "You are an Iron Man." Remember, I told you I didn't get to see the finish of the race. Donna saw this part. I didn't. I saw it later on a review. But there he was. Scott came across and it said, "Scott Wright from Wonder Lake, you are an Iron Man." Wow. But you know what? When I get to heaven, and when I cross that finish line, and when I meet God and Jesus sitting on his right hand face to face, will I hear, "Rick Wright from Wonder Lake, you are my faithful servant"? I know one thing. I sure don't want to hear anything else. And I'm sure you don't either. We want to finish the race strong. So in conclusion, why do we work so hard? Why do we want to continue until the end? Even though we're physically weak, why do we literally push and persevere right to the end? 2 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy, uh-oh, there went a flag. I hope that wasn't the one. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 7. "Now, there is in store for me the crown." There's that same crown that we talked about at the beginning. "The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but all those who have longed for his appearing." I don't know about you, but this is a tremendous challenge. Why do I want to do these things? Why do I want to grow spiritually? It's because God, the righteous judge, Jesus, the righteous judge who took my sins, has promised a reward for me that will come at that end day. But you know what? That's the me part of this verse. There's something more in this verse than the me part. It also talks about all of those who come behind me. So as God touches you as an individual, just think how then you can touch others that are around you. To all that are longing for his appearance, those Sunday school kids, those nursery kids, those junior church kids, your neighbors, all of it, the Awana kids. Think about the relationships that your relationships are different than mine. They're not the same. But you have a lot of them, and so do I. Maybe husbands, we need to start with our wives. What an important relationship that is. We want that built on spiritual footings, come from God, led by the Holy Spirit in our lives. Nothing more than a wife, nothing more than that a wife wants from a husband is that a spiritual husband who prays for her and encourages her. But you know what? Turn that around. Wives, what about your relationship with your husbands? Okay? Children, whew, mine are all gone. My kids have heard from me more than once, "I will be your father till the end." Yeah, my parenting has changed. I don't change any more diapers. Okay? And hopefully I don't pay any more college bills. But you know what? There are times, you can ask them if you want to, but there are times when they've needed some parenting. And I've been there. So we got to watch. We got to listen. We got to pray. And we got to do. And there's an awful lot of us that have a lot of time in our lives that can do just that. And this is what really has hit home for me. What about grandchildren? I got 10 of them. You think my job is done? I only have 4 kids. I got 10 grandkids. I have more to do now than I did before. My job is not done. By no means is it done. What about the friends that you deal with? What about the acquaintances at work? What about your neighbors? What about the church family? Does anybody here need an encouragement to finish the race strong? Are you the one that can come alongside them and help them and be part of that? I've only mentioned a few of the relationships that are in my life and in your life. But whatever they are, we need to finish that race strong. One of the favorite verses in the Bible that has helped me through life is, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given unto you." God knows what you need and what you need and what you need and what you need and what we all need and what I need. All as he asks is for you to seek him and to be faithful no matter what stage of life you're at, no matter what he has for you. I'm going to do something really weird here. You got to stick with me. When I count to three, I want you to say your name. Okay? Now, this is practice. So I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, Rick Wright. Now, you're not going to say Rick Wright. You're going to say your name. Got it? Dennis, he's got it. All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. From Wonder Lake, you are an Iron Man for me, a faithful servant to the end.